Hi, my name is Tracy Coral, and welcome to Indispensable People. I'm a wife, mom, teacher, pastor, and missionary, and I believe that every person should have the opportunity to know Christ, grow in Him, and serve Him with the gifts that He has given, no matter their ability. Over 65 million Americans have a disability. That's 25% of the population. However, over 80% of them are not inside the walls of our church. Let's dive into those hard topics, biblical foundations, perceptions, and world-changing ideas.
Hey, hey, and welcome to episode 30 of Indispensable People. Wow, 30 episodes. We started this a few months ago, back in October. We release weekly podcasts, and I am so excited that we have hit number 30, and we have no plans to stop. We want to keep this conversation going, and especially today, I'm excited to share with you about options for churches. Now, I get to travel as a missionary, and one of the most intimidating things that I think most pastors experience when they speak to me is not how smart I am. It's not how incredible I am. It's just simply, what in the world am I going to ask them to do? And some of that assumption is I'm going to ask them to create a whole program, to change their building, to do things that they're terrified of doing, because let's be honest, all of those things include money and people, and those people choosing to be volunteers, not only for just anybody in the church, but for a program that seems intimidating and fearful just because we have some fear of the unknown. So let me just be perfectly honest. I don't ever walk into a church or have a conversation with a pastor where I assume that they are going to do all of those things. And here's why. The number one thing I need pastors and leaders and volunteers to understand is the biblical view of people with disabilities. I don't necessarily need to theologically teach them, right? They're pastors. They're most likely have some kind of licensing certification that qualifies them to be in the position which they are in, which means they should have a good understanding of the Bible. What I need for them to do is I need for them to take that understanding of the Bible and put it in the perspective of a life with a disability. Because it is not that pastors or leaders or church volunteers do not want to help people with disabilities. It's that they're not sure. So let's take that off the table, right? Pastors and leaders and volunteers are not out to get people with disabilities. They are not disgruntled because you want to come into the church. They are just unsure of what to do and how to go about it. Then, on top of that, they're afraid of what is going to be requested. Not because they don't want to make accommodations, not because they don't want to make those things available to you, but because they require things that are difficult. Money, people, all of that kind of stuff. So the biblical understanding helps to change the perspective, right? We've said all of these things before. People with disabilities are made in the image of Christ. They are there for a purpose. Their disability doesn't exist only with the root of sin. And so they need to be relieved of their sin by, asking for forgiveness, and then they'll be healed. But when we look in the New Testament and we learn that Jesus says specifically that those exist so that the works of God might be displayed in him. So we take those perspectives and we switch things up. We have a very different understanding of people with disabilities, not because we didn't understand the Bible, but because now we have a more open view of bigger perspective. So we're opening the door to the possibilities of understanding a people group that maybe we just didn't know, maybe we just didn't approach. And that's where that fear of the unknown was. And now we're breaking down barriers because we're seeing that the Bible specifically addresses it. On top of that, the Bible helps us to know that it was written for everyone. Why? Because there's nothing in there that says except for. There's no asterisk that works a people group out and that says not for you. The Great Commission says to go into all the world, right? So those are the perspective changers that we need to carry with us so that we can go into the next steps of going, okay, so now we know these people exist. Now we understand the biblical view of them. What do we do? Okay. So I want to share with you about an article. I wish I remembered the author's name, but it was a lady who was a pastor herself who then had a child with special needs. And she said that the church that she attended actually had all the bells and whistles of a special needs program. She said, however, it was very much felt as if her son did not belong there, as if he was not wanted or valued. So they chose to leave the church and they were trying to seek out another place. And they ended up landing at a church that really had no bells and whistles. There were no programs. However, the people of the church loved their family. They felt welcomed and they felt valued. And statistics show, surveys show that the number one thing that families are looking for, families impacted by disability, they want to be welcomed. They want to be wanted. And so she said, we went to this church. There was no programs. There was no bells and whistles. However, there was a couple of ladies who got to know the mom and offered to sit with their son. So the mom could then be a part of things, could then volunteer. So they didn't have all the programs, they didn't have all the bells and whistles, but they did what means more than anything. They were the love of Christ to someone else. And isn't that exactly what we're asked to do? And let me tell you, that didn't cost any money. It didn't take anything except for being Jesus with skin on to someone else. And so that is your number one way as a church, a community, as a program in the community, an organization where you can show the love of Christ to someone else is not to ignore them, to help them to feel welcomed, to invite them, to get to know them. Again, doesn't cost a dollar, doesn't cost a dime. Didn't cost a penny, but was worth so very much to that family. So let's look beyond that. Okay. You have now grabbed on to the understanding and the benefit and knowing what God says about people with disabilities. You've welcomed them into your church, and now you want to take the next step. What can we do to make sure that we're not just opening our building, but it's accessible physically? That's your next step. So let's take a look at ramps and doors and bathrooms. Are there some small things that you can do to make your church more accessible? Can you make sure your hallways are clear? Can you make sure that you have designated signs? Those signs cannot just have the word, but maybe they have a visual, some kind of picture, or they have Braille available so that someone else can navigate your building if they can't read. Is it possible that you could designate a bathroom that might be a handicap or family accessible bathroom? You might not be able to redo all of your bathrooms in your facility, but if you could have at least one available that's accessible for a family to use. So you take in the physical accessibility and consider that. Why do we do that? Why is that your next step? Because if they can't get in your building, it doesn't matter how welcoming you are, right? If they can't stay for service because they don't have use of a restroom, then you can't minister to them. if they feel like they can't navigate your building and they don't want to ask for help and there's not a program that provides assistance for them to navigate the service, they might not come back. So that's why we consider the physical accessibility of the church next. Add to that, okay, you have looked into making sure that your church understands the value and the worth of individuals with disabilities. You have considered and made some changes, if not little changes, maybe you've made big changes to the physical accessibility of the church. Then your next step is making the gospel accessible. What can you do to provide possible barriers that can be broken down so that people can learn about God, so they have opportunity to know him and to grow in him? And some of these things can simply be providing an individual who might be considered a buddy or some kind of partner that would help someone navigate their experience at the church, whether that's in main service in the sanctuary with adults or with kids or with teenagers. Maybe you're creating some possibilities within the classroom by putting up visual schedules or providing large print Bibles or large print on your screens or providing large print of what's on your screens on a piece of paper for someone who might have a visual impairment. Maybe you're making considerations about the way that you're teaching. Maybe you're making sure that there are different sensory approaches to teaching about the Bible. Those provide lots of opportunities to learn. Maybe you want to go a step further and put in that buddy system that I just mentioned a moment ago to an even bigger scale, but go even further. Take the next step. Again, these are steps at a time. You don't have to do it all at one time. You take a step at a time, build your programs, build your things so that you don't get overwhelmed, so that it is not beyond your capability within your church. But then take on the idea of, what if I have individuals that I'm serving that do not do well sensory-wise within the normal classrooms, whether it's the sanctuary, whether it is kids on Sunday mornings or youth on Wednesday nights, whatever it might be, what's the next step? Can you provide an optional learning space? Can you provide a sensory room or a quiet room? Those are your next options. Can you provide teaching that can happen outside of Kids Church, youth, or in the sanctuary, where maybe for an individual who has an intellectual disability, they can be taught in a level that they understand? Here's the thing. I want you to know that the goal through disability ministry is that everyone should have the opportunity to know Christ, grow in him, and serve him with the gifts that he has given. And we do this through the least, I'm going to use a school term, the least restrictive environment. You don't have to encounter a family who says, my son is diagnosed with autism, and you go, okay, we have to have a sensory room, a one-on-one, all these things. You may not. That individual with autism may function perfectly fine within the kids ministry, youth ministry, or adult ministry. You may need something as little as someone understanding their needs and being able to step in if maybe they need a break or to step out of the room for a moment to just get some calm or get their body moving so that they can come back in and focus. So you need to understand that it doesn't have to be an all, I just had this thought of like an all-inclusive, it's not like an all-inclusive trip to the Bahamas. You don't have to, when you go on that trip to the Bahamas, you don't have to utilize everything that's included. You get to choose what works for you. And that's the way we need to approach special needs ministry. It is only in those extreme situations where discipling has to maybe happen on a different level because of intellectual needs or if that individual is not comfortable in those spaces that are already provided, then you may need to consider a sensory room or a quiet room. So when I come into a church and I want to talk to the pastor about disability ministry, so very much of it is about understanding and valuing the people that we serve, helping their church to become physically accessible, but also spiritually accessible. And a lot of that can start without even considering gigantic programs, all the bells and whistles, and volunteers, endless volunteers. Now, don't get me wrong. As you grow in your knowledge and value and understanding of individuals with disabilities, I guarantee that your heart and your passion will be wanting to provide them with more. But the start, the getting to know, the building up doesn't have to be that all in at first. The only thing that has to be all in is your belief, your understanding, your biblical background, and knowing what God believes and sees in the people that he calls indispensable.
Do I know everything about disability ministry? Do I have all the answers? Have I done everything perfectly? I have absolutely not. But we are going to continue this conversation so that people of all abilities can have the opportunity to know Christ, grow in him, and serve him with the gifts that he has given them.